Hello, everyone. This is Lily. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. Right now, you're tuned into the real world. So, come on. It's every other Thursday. You know, you're tuned in on purpose. The real world is UBC Film Society's radio segment. We talk about all things film related. But the Film Society is not just about our radio show. We also host double features every week and a lot more fun movie-related events. Keep an eye out. We've got beer gardens, pub nights, all sorts of things. So if you're looking for updates on what's happening with our Film Society, you can check our Instagram, which is at UBC Film Society. So yeah, today is another installment of our Latin American film program beginning at 6:15 tonight in the Norm Theater. The Norm Theater's in the Life Building across from the Starbucks. So if you want to swing by for that film, 6:15 tonight. Keep an eye out again on our Instagram for any other updates. We are on every other Thursday, like I already said. I'm Lily.
I'm
as
Emma.
Usual.
As usual. Also, I'm Emma.
Yeah. So, Emma, yeah. First things first, we want you to introduce why you walked out of the Oscars this week. Halfway through the Oscars, you walked out.
I'm going to be so real. I had to go eat dinner, so I had to walk out of the Oscars.
This is your playoff music. This is your playoff music. This is what happens in the Oscars when you run too long. Emma didn't stay too long. She actually stayed too short.
Yeah.
She left the Oscars on Sunday.
Happens to the best.
I had to confront you right off the top of the episode. She yeah, could only last for half because she said she had to go get dinner.
Yeah. This is crazy. Only a minute in. This is like accusations are being thrown around.
Yeah. So we'll circle back to her and how mad we all are at her. But let's introduce our next guest. We have Wes. So Wes is known as Wes, but he's also known as
whatever you want to call me.
Film award show fanatic, some say.
Yes, that's or expert. I prefer expert.
But expert. Fanatic, okay, works too. I won't play my playoff music of trying to get people to shut up. Actually, tell me, why do you consider yourself an expert? Why are you so into the Oscars? Why do you love them so much?
Wow, that's so generous of you. What an excellent intro. Yeah, I love the Oscars because the best way I can put it is every year it just feels like my Super Bowl. It's like the final, yeah. It's like the end mark of the year where we get to celebrate all the great movies that came out last year. To all those people that say they don't make good movies anymore, there's no more good movies that are being released. They clearly don't check out all the Oscar contenders and all the different award shows because I although they do miss out on a lot, I feel like it's just such a great celebration of all the good movies that come out. I just love it.
Absolutely. So you're the perfect guest to have on today. That's why we wanted you on because we're talking about the 96th Academy Awards.
Ooh.
The Oscars. They just happened this past Sunday. So stay tuned in. We're going to chat a little bit more about what went down on Sunday. We're going to break down a lot of the categories for you. But first, we're going to kick it off with some ads and such. So here we are.
Wrestling fans, let's get ready to rumble!
Boom Pro Wrestling is coming to you live from the Great Hall at the Nest on Friday, March 22nd. Wrestling maniacs of all ages are welcome to watch these talented fighters duke it out at UBC. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. and bell time is at 7:30 sharp. Enjoy the cash bar as you cheer on your favorite players. Visit boomprowrestling.com to purchase your tickets. And hurry, because this event is sure to be a knockout. Don't miss Boom Pro Wrestling at UBC campus on March 22nd.
Duck Club presents Treefort Music Fest, coming to downtown Boise March 20th to 24th, 2024. Lineup is out now, featuring musical acts Channel Trace, Ty Segall, Nico Case, Frank Moody, Kristen Maroney, Drama, Dead, and so much more. This five-day festival features over 400 bands, plus comedy, yoga, food, beer, art, films, drag, and more. Full lineup, ticket packages, and more information at treefortmusicfest.com.
Just a few words before I go to sleep. I feel like I'm going to dream tonight. Big bad ones, you know? The kind you like.
There is a lot of music out there, but only some is strange enough for you. My name is B, and on SlimeWire, I do the work for you, picking out freaky tunes to rule your nighttime world. So check it out every Wednesday at 10 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM.
Attention all writers, zine makers, artists, and musicians. Have you heard about the Anarchist Book Fair happening at UBC on March 20th and 21st? We're looking for all types of creatives to sell, give away, or trade. So if that's you, email Cora at sponsorship@citr.ca to book a table. This two-day event is for troublemakers and peacekeepers alike. So mark your calendars for March 20th and 21st so you don't miss the Anarchist Book Fair happening at the AMS Atrium.
How come Andrew gets to get up? If he gets up, we'll all get up. It'll be anarchy.
So that's this song is Candlepin Bowling. It's a track from The Holdovers, which we'll talk more about. We've already talked about The Holdovers. I think all of us here are big Holdover fans.
That was my number one of last year.
Number one.
Really? I loved it. Yeah.
That's fair.
And I watched it like a week ago, too. Just like way after already watching everything jumped to the top.
As you should. Well, you might hear a lot of clips of this track, Candlepin Bowling, because I just decided it's going to be used to interrupt my fellow guests here.
This is awesome. I feel like
whenever
like
we give a take
trap
you don't agree with, we'll hear that music.
I've got too much power, but you'll know why I play it. Anyway, with that, we wish that The Holdovers got a bit more recognition for song, score, etc. But we're going to talk about who actually got the recognition. Let's first start off the Oscars. What happened with original song?
Yeah, original song. It went to What Was I Made For by Billie Eilish.
Mm-hmm. Phineas.
Can't forget. He's the real MVP. We can't forget about Phineas.
Never forget.
I think most people saw this coming. We knew it was going to be at least one of the Barbie songs, What Was I Made For, or I'm Just Ken. Yeah. I'm Just Ken. Super fun song. Super fun performance, which we'll probably get into later. But What Was I Made For is just such a beautiful song. It honestly was the one part of Barbie that left me sobbing in the theater. I wasn't overjoyed with Barbie like some people were, but that song at the end, I was just like, oh my God, devastating.
And so good.
I love Billie Eilish too. It's so cool to see someone that's like kind of close to our generation and close in her age to be this
22.
Successful. And she has two Oscars.
Two Oscars. I know. The first 22? Ever.
Oh my
God. Do you think she's the youngest to have multiple Oscars at such a young age?
I mean, we'd
have to do some research.
First.
Yeah.
To have two Oscars at 22. That's the youngest ever to have two Oscars.
That's insane.
Crazy. Anyway, well deserved. I mean,
agreed.
The performance was great. The song is great. I don't think we've played it on the show before, but we've played a lot of other Barbie soundtrack, Barbie score stuff. This one specifically has got just this great kind of like, it's a reflection on what the whole theme of the movie is. It plays instrumentally kind of throughout a little bit more. But the main part it's played is when Barbie meets Ruth Handler. Mm-hmm. And it's like this really emotional part of meeting your creator while also talking about like the life that she wants to create for herself. And like the intersections of like being something that was created, but also being someone who wants to be the imaginer and being the creator. What was she made for? It's a really emotional part. And that's why it had a big impact on me in the movie, but also just at the Oscars. It was a great part of the award ceremony.
Agreed.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that this was like the only Barbie win. Like, I was expecting at least a few
others.
The
only Barbie win.
I know.
Wow.
That's crazy, but it was deserved. It was well deserved. But yeah, I was like expecting like maybe production design or something as well.
I think we all were thinking Barbie would take production.
Pretty divided.
I was definitely rooting for it for production design, for sure.
We'll get to that later. We've got bones to pick. But this song also just took the world by storm. It also won Best Song of the Year and Best Song Written for Visual Media at the Grammys this past February. So it was, and then it was just like a top song, like listen to. I think it was number one hit in the UK and Australia, number 14 in the US. It just it took over everything. So it makes sense why it got this recognition. But it was also up against some other great songs. We're going to play little snippets of all of the best song nominees throughout the episode. But we also had I'm Just Ken up here. So did any of us want I'm Just Ken to win? We all thought What Was I Made For was going to win, right?
Yeah. I might have.
I wanted What Was I Made For to win.
Okay.
I loved it. Now, as good as I'm Just Ken is and some of like the other songs of Barbie, like Pink and Dance the Night, although a movie can only have two of their songs nominated every year.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. That's why you only saw I'm Just Ken.
And they submit the ones that they want, right?
Exactly.
So I wonder what the decision like that was for, because they also had some other huge songs.
Yeah.
Like the Dua Lipa one was also
Dance the
huge.
Night. Yeah.
But they've got to decide what they're submitting for the category.
Probably just the two that generated the most buzz.
They knew what they were doing. I mean, they both not only shortlisted, but made it to the top five, the nominees.
I was rooting for I'm Just Ken. I don't know what it is about Ryan Gosling. He's enamored me. Like, I was watching, like, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean.
He's killing it in his hot pink suit. But I'm not mad about the What Was I Made For win.
Yeah. I'm Just Ken was so fun, though. And then when they had, so the Foo Fighters drummer, and then also Slash.
Slash.
Came
that was
out,
insane.
But they're on the track too.
Yeah.
Like they're the.
They're credited. Slash is credited for writing the guitar parts on I'm Just Ken. I have no idea how they got him to sign on for that. But
are you kidding me? If they called you up and they're like, we've got this rock power ballad, it's going in a movie about Barbies. Immediately.
Your childhood pastime, Slash.
That's
we know you're
Slash's
a big fan.
Niche. Don't we all know? That was crazy when they brought him out.
Yeah, I thought he was dead. I won't lie. I'm just going to say it outright. I did not know Slash was still around. Very happy to find out the opposite.
We're really relieved is what we're going to say about this. Thank God. And then so our other nominees we had was Zazie, A Song for My People. This was the first time an Osage writer was nominated in the category.
Wow.
And I looked a bit into like the lyrics because they're sung in Osage, but the message is about like saying that as George, so the writer of the song, Scott George, he was talking about a bit like what the lyrics mean, how they resonate like with the message of the film, Killers of a Flower Moon. And it's about saying that they're still there, that they're standing like tall and proud after everything that happened. The movie is going through like a really dark chapter in history for the Osage people. But the process I also thought was interesting. I don't know much about, can you say anything about... We started talking about what it's like submitting things for categories, and they have to submit like sheet music, which I guess they didn't have sheet music in like the way that's conventional to be submitted for this category. So they had to reach out to a composer. It's also complicated, like submitting and deciding. And I guess there's so much criteria you have to fill to even be considered to be shortlisted. Lots of steps that I didn't know about.
There's a lot of barriers that you got to get through.
Yeah.
A lot of people that I feel like you got to please in order to get in there. But it's more of a complicated process than people know. Than people think. So when they're like, oh, why didn't my favorite song get nominated? Or why didn't my favorite movie get nominated for this? And it could be a campaigning issue. It could be an eligibility issue. It could be anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I honestly didn't know it was as complicated as it sounds. I thought it was just like, oh, wow, they've got a good score. In they go. But clearly not.
If only.
We would all be nominated for Oscars if it was so easy.
Exactly.
But apparently it's not. Some world we live in. And then we also had Score. So there were a couple other nominees. We had Becky G performed The Fire Inside. I didn't know that was about to happen, but it did. And then we also had It Never Went Away, which also was a beautiful performance. We'll hear snippets of all of these later on. But on to original score, we all expected Oppenheimer to win.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
consensus.
It was such a monumental score.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was rooting for Robbie Robertson for Killers of the Flower Moon. I personally enjoyed it more, but I mean, how can you not give it to Ludwig for what he did with Oppenheimer? I thought it was just so so outstanding. Yes. Obviously, the one track, Can You Hear the Music?
Insane.
Is just so iconic. So
yeah.
I definitely understand the win, even if it wasn't what I was personally rooting for.
Mm-hmm. I like to study to the score and just makes me feel like important when I'm doing like my silly little like art history homework or something.
Exactly.
I'm like, quantum mechanics. Yeah.
That's basically what you're doing.
Exactly.
I know, I was thinking about it. what they must have been trying to achieve. I'm not that. I would say score and sound and things like that are definitely not my areas of expertise because I'm not super into music. But I was thinking about what they must be trying to achieve and how hard it might be to get such this like ambitious feeling, because it's about a scientist. It's about like an inventor and like a building up and up and up towards something. So it's like getting your nerves going, getting the listener to like feel the ambition, but then also a score that just completely falls off or blows up at the end. So it's like a complete buildup of like invention and science and anticipation, and then some sort of crash of destruction and coming off that edge all within the score. And I mean, yeah, it was well deserved. I think.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
And then we have sound too.
I actually haven't seen The Zone of Interest.
I haven't seen it either, but have you, Wes?
Yeah, I guess I'm the only one here.
Thank God for Wes.
Thank God for Wes.
Out of all the things that Zone of Interest could have won for, I'm so glad that it won for sound. Do you guys know much about the movie or what it's about?
I
know the plot.
So it's basically, for anyone that hasn't seen the movie, it's about this Nazi family from Germany that lives next to the Auschwitz concentration camp. And when I say lives next to, like, their backyard and their garden literally shares a wall with Auschwitz, but you never see any images of the Holocaust. It never actually shows you up front. All you'll hear is these slight screams in the background or a fire churning in the background. Yeah. And so they never have to show you, but you know exactly what's happening. And by using the sound design in a way, it almost makes you, it makes it more powerful because you have to imagine it rather than them showing it outright in the cinematography. So I thought it may have gone to Oppenheimer, but I'm really glad it went to Zone of Interest because the sound design in that was just so very subtle yet very powerful at the same time. Yeah,
I've heard from like some of my friends who saw it that they just like sat in the theater like as credits were rolling just to get like the full sound impact of that.
Oh, that's one of those movies that I highly recommend staying like your friends did till the very end of the credits just so you could get that last ounce of the music in there, because all around, all the sonic elements of that movie were just masterful. Yeah.
But if you did listen to Em and I's episode from 2 weeks ago where we talked about our movie theater pet peeves, you would also know always stay till the end of the credits. Always. No matter what. Anyway, so yeah, we just went over sound, score, original song. We want to play you the winner of original song. And this was What Was I Made For by Billie Eilish and
Phineas.
Yes, here they are.
I used to float. Now I just fall down. I used to know, but I'm not sure now what I was made for. What was I made for? Taking a drive, I was an ideal. Looked so I
Okay. Wow. So this was Best Original Song winner at the Oscars. They happen this Sunday. If you're just tuning in now, you're listening to kind of a breakdown of the Oscars because this is a film-related radio segment. If you watched the Oscars, great. You're going to learn more about them. Pick a fight with us. Don't pick a fight with us. We accept hate mail.
Accept any mail. Send us mail, guys.
Send us mail. If you didn't watch the Oscars, I don't know what to tell you. I'm just kidding. We're going to break it all down. So, like, it's either way, you're going
to
understand.
So you don't have to.
You don't have to have watched them, basically, exactly. Is what we're trying to say. We're moving on to production design, costumes, makeup, and hair. It's not that hard to break down because it was a clean sweep. Poor things.
Poor things.
Took it all.
I mean,
did we see it coming?
No. Did we see it coming? I don't think we did.
This was honestly... because the Oscars, I felt like, were very predictable this year. And these three categories, mm-hmm. to me, were, like, the biggest upset of the night. Maybe not the biggest. But there's one other, but it also pertains to Poor Things. So kind of all of those together. But, no, I was expecting these all to split. I wanted production design to go to Barbie, but I did predict it to go to Poor Things.
Yeah.
And I thought costumes was going to go to Barbie, even though I wanted it to go to Poor Things.
Okay.
And then I thought makeup, because I haven't seen the movie, but everyone's been raving about the transformation that Bradley Cooper underwent to become Leonard Bernstein. So a lot of people thought that was going to go to Maestro, and I just joined the bandwagon. And was like, yeah, it'll probably go to Maestro. But
that shows the dangers of joining a bandwagon.
Yeah.
Think for yourself, guys.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Please come up with your own opinion. Just kidding. I really get it. I watched Maestro and the makeup was crazy. But this is a big topic for us to talk about because I think this was the only category that Emma and I got and Wes didn't was makeup and hairstyling. Like we said, Wes is an expert.
Yeah.
He predicted almost all of the winners of
pretty much
every
category.
Like
20 out of 23, 21 out of 23. It depends if you count. Because I switched
immediately
my prediction.
You got 20. If you're already trying to convince to get...
Okay.
Yeah,
no, you're right.
Okay.
Because
we're gonna leave
I switched my prediction to Emma Stone halfway through as soon as Poor Things won makeup. Because it's a trend at the Oscars. They love to award the film with best makeup to either a best actor or best actress.
Like I don't know how I feel about that.
You had The Whale last year with Brendan Fraser in makeup. You had The Eyes of Tammy Faye with Jessica Chastain.
We'll see how the rest of the episode goes, and me and Emma will decide if you deserve
if
that extra point or not.
I'll take it.
You've
I'll take it.
Like so much going into this. I was just going off of vibes. I'm like, yeah, that one looked pretty when I watched it.
Hey,
yeah, that was cool.
I do my research.
I mean,
I come prepared.
It shows in my numbers. I got like less than half right. But
yeah, well, that's okay.
Here for a good time, not a long time, you know?
Exactly. That's the spirit.
I think I thought Barbie might take production design.
I was convinced.
But I also can completely, like, when I was deciding, it wasn't something that was, like, immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, I had just seen Poor Things so recently, so it was just in my head. And the production design, like, was insane. It was James Price and Shona Heath did the production design for Poor Things. And James also did Iron Claw, which...
Oh,
completely different vibes, but they're accomplished workers in production design, and it's completely well deserved.
They killed it.
The biggest difference I think I can see, and like as to why it might have gone to Poor Things instead of Barbie, is because Poor Things I feel like just had such a sense of originality.
Yeah.
Whereas Barbie, very impressive what they were able to accomplish at bringing those toy sets to life. Mm-hmm. But they're technically based off already existing designs. Yeah. Whereas Poor Things was just absolutely out of the imagination, of some production designers.
And also just like not out of imagination, I'm trying to remember what it was like to be, no, like this, the character that they're trying to portray, what it's like to see the mm-hmm. world, is a completely like mm-hmm. invented character. So it's like a baby's brain in a mm-hmm. full-size woman's body. And the director, Lanthimos, was saying that he wanted to show through the production design what that would seem like, to look through those eyes and see the world that's so weird and scary, but also so colorful.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, coming up with how they wanted to show that through the set design is, yeah, exactly what you're saying, completely imagining mm-hmm. what that might feel like, which I thought was really interesting. And they were also going through, like, Barbie Land is completely invented as well, but reinventing Paris and London and Lisbon, all these really different places looked so cool. I was looking at, like, what the actual, like, what it looked like to be on set.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine.
That would be crazy.
But again, both, like, being in Barbie Land, like, where would you want to be? Would you want to be in the alleyways of Lisbon, seen through Bella Baxter's eyes, or would you want to be in Barbie Land?
Yeah. I mean, are you asking us?
I'm asking you. I'm asking you. Yeah.
I mean, probably Barbie Land, just because also the crew seems like so much fun. Like hanging out with Greta Gerwig and Ryan Gosling all day? Are you kidding me?
That was not the question. But yes. Yeah, don't we all?
Yeah. That's fair.
New friend group invite. If you're listening, Ryan, we just want to hang out.
Yeah. Ryan Gosling, please.
But yeah, then they also, like we said, it was a clean sweep. Poor Things also took costume design and makeup and hairstyling. How do you guys feel about this?
I get it. You know, I get it. Yeah. Like, I was honestly, it could have gone either way, I feel, for costuming. Like, I was like, yeah, okay, you know, if it went to Barbie, I think I was rooting for Barbie, but I'm not mad about the Poor Things costume win. Like, those are such insane costumes, like, just pulling, like, from so many different periods and stuff, mm-hmm. and, like, the colors, like, just such an insane, like, visual look of the film. It's so mm-hmm. unique, and I'm not surprised that they swept, honestly.
They were so cool. Like, every outfit Bella was in,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't even stop paying attention to that. I feel like I was missing lines just because I was looking at her dress.
I know.
Yeah.
And the textures were so cool. I was reading a little bit because it's Holly Waddington, which I'm not really familiar with this girl, mm-hmm. but she did the costumes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, like, imagining what it would be like to invent something for such a strange character. Like, Bella Baxter, so strange. But also drawing on, like, they wanted it to be, like, mm-hmm. Victorian. It still got those, like, historical period accuracy.
Yeah.
But not making it completely, like, historically accurate. Yeah. Adding these very...
giving it an element of fantasy. Almost.
Yeah.
Like, it was a fantasy, but also a period piece at the same time. I love that blend.
I love the combination. Yeah. Like, sometimes it would just look like her outfit was a little bit just, like, unfinished or, like, being worn slightly wrong. But that made it all the more interesting. It didn't feel... like, you could so tell that it was intentional. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel at all like some sort of mess up or something like that.
For sure.
Yeah, the makeup was also insane for like Godwin. Like, those prosthetics were crazy.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's probably the main reason why it went to
Must Have
Poor Things was because of the work they did on Godwin and Willem Dafoe. But then also all the, like, the bodies and the autopsy and like cutting them open. I'm assuming that would have been the makeup team that would have done all that. And that was really well done too. So, you know, I'm not mad with the... any three of the wins. Even though I haven't seen Maestro, maybe I'll switch up my mind when I watch
I really wanted Society of the Snow to take makeup and hairstyling, but I was also like, anything they're nominated, I wanted them to take. That movie was so great. But yeah, again, I can see. Willem Dafoe's was specifically so insane. Great. But yeah, that was kind of like our artistic categories. We want to take a little bit of an intermission and play The Fire Inside. This was one of the nominees. For best original song. So here we have that.
Oh, oh, you got places to go. You're not going this slow. Oh, no, 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 no. They will tell you you're crazy. They will call you. They will think they can stop you, but there's no stopping you. They can't put out what you got inside, you know it. To put
Yeah, shout out Diane Warren. What was your little fact about Diane Warren?
Oh, yeah. She's basically the woman that gets nominated for an Oscar every single year. That was her 15th Oscar nominated nomination for original song, and she's won a big fat goose egg. Zero.
Yeah.
But
well, crazy.
Maybe one day. Maybe she's just got to get better at campaigning.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was Becky G did that performance. But yeah, we're moving on. We just did costumes, makeup, production design. We want to talk a bit about the big guys. Jump right into it.
The ones we came for.
The ones we are all, we all get
the ones we were made for, as Billie Eilish would say.
Yes. Best picture, best director, lead actor and actress. So I mean, it was pretty expected most of these categories.
Yeah,
I would say
pretty much.
Three quarters out of these categories were quite expected. First best picture, it went to Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Woo!
Woo.
Yeah, I mean, we all saw it coming.
Oh, yeah.
Oppenheimer was really, really good, don't get me wrong. And I only saw it one time,
same
as Barbie. Yeah. So I feel like if I give those movies another shot, which I'm planning on doing, my love for them will increase.
I know, because now it's on, it's free on Prime.
Yeah, I think
so
nine
shocked.
Out of the 10 Best Picture nominees are all free on streaming services. All of them except for Zone of Interest right now. So if you haven't watched these Best Picture nominees,
I was so excited. I was just informed that Anatomy of the Fall, I was about to go pay at a theater to see it, but
it's amazing.
It's now it's free. I mean, it would probably be better in theater no matter what, but you can watch Oppenheimer. I want to do a rewatch of that as well.
Me too. What movies would you guys have rather seen take it over Oppenheimer? Because I have a solid like 4 or 5, maybe even 6.
Yeah. 4 or 5 or 6 that you would have rather?
Yeah. If I'm going to be real, like I'd rather have seen Anatomy of a Fall to start, The Holdovers, which was my number one of the year, Past Lives, which was my number two of the year, Poor Things, which was my number three of the year, Killers of the Flower Moon, which was my number four of the year. Like, I loved all these movies. Maybe even American Fiction, which I just watched. Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. I'd have to think about that
for
some
Best
more.
Picture.
Wow. Well, no, I'd just choose all these other movies over both American Fiction
and
Oppenheimer.
We would take any 9, apparently. Apparently, we're big haters. No, we're not big haters. But so, if Past Lives was your number 2 of the year, why did you have it as, like, you wanted it for...
That's a great...
You wanted Past Lives a bit. Yeah. Emma wanted The Holdovers.
I love
That's a great question.
Right?
Well, because I'm starting to believe in this philosophy a little bit less and less, but people have always said there's a difference between your favorite movie and the best movie, as in objectively most well-made, technically most sound, and just best movie made.
That adds up. I mean,
but
I love The Kissing Booth, but I can't say much to
exactly
what went into that movie.
So The Holdovers was my favorite movie of 2023, but in terms of what I think had the best directing, the most emotional effect out of me, some of the best performances of the year, the best cinematography and how lucid it felt, I just think Past Lives deserved the win, especially for it being a directorial debut. That was Celine Song's first movie.
That's crazy. Yeah.
So,
and that's what they're considering for Best Picture. They have to combine all of those different factors.
Exactly.
Even if it's like, even just sentimentally, like one of your favorites of the year, you have to kind of take all those things into consideration.
For sure.
Well, this is just such a crazy year for, like, first-timers. Like, even, like, Dominic Sessa, like, he didn't get nominated or anything.
He's my new crush. I was so excited that every time he came on the red carpet, he was always, like, going around taking selfies with everything. Everyone, you could tell, like, there's, like, the veterans who are there every year.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure they still get excited whenever it's the Oscars. But then there's, like, you're saying, the first-timers.
Yeah. Like, so screen pumped. Debut. Like, never acted on a camera before.
It's like,
and yeah, wow.
Gave one of the best performances of the year. It was...
My sister, she wants to be an actress, and she literally cannot watch anything, like, any interviews with Dominic Sessa, because she gets so jealous of this, like, insane, like, luck he has. She's like, we'll be, like, watching them. She's like, turn it off. I can't see this. Yeah. I can't see his stupid face.
Yeah. Because all of a sudden, he's just thrown into it, and now who knows what he's going to do now? Because with this as your first, this as your debut,
crazy.
Like, he's going to get signed on to some crazy stuff, I can imagine.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. No, Dominic Sessa's one to watch for, I think.
He's one to watch for. You heard it here first, folks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if we were to get rid of all the other nominees and just leave Barbenheimer, who are you guys taking? Which side are you on?
For best
picture?
Are
you on the Barb or are you on the Inheimer side of the spectrum?
For best picture.
For best picture.
God, I think this is one of those, like, objectively, I probably enjoyed Barbie more, but, like, you know, Oppenheimer's probably the better, like, technical movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's, like, one of those where I'm kind of like, oh... If I, yeah.
I don't know. I'm heading out, guys.
Turn on the playoff music.
Yeah, I need to play myself off because I can't answer this question. I don't know. Do you have an answer to that?
I mean, I want to watch them again first, like, because I saw them back in July, but I would probably go with Oppenheimer.
Did you do the whole both in one day thing?
No, I didn't. I waited to see Oppenheimer like 2 weeks because I made a trip out to Langley, like a 2-hour trip to see it in the IMAX 70mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which was kind of underwhelming. Oh. But I don't need to get into that.
Okay. Well, yeah, maybe that's the eye-opening experience. Like, they say Barbenheimer, do it in one day for a reason, because that's what helps you be able to decide.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess that's on our bucket list now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, pretty consensus for Best Picture. So we also have director, which went to Oppenheimer, Christopher Nolan. Yeah. Which I think we also all were expecting.
It almost feels like for both Best Picture and Best Director, it's like the Oscars tend to do this a lot. It's almost like a legacy win, as in Christopher Nolan had never won an Oscar before. He'd made so many of these great movies, but then just never managed to pull out a win, that I feel like the Academy was like, you know what? This is his year. Let's just give it. Not taking away from Oppenheimer, like saying that was a bad movie or anything, but it just feels like,
for him to
he's never won before. We should just give him the award, kind of thing. Not saying he didn't deserve it.
Can't believe he'd never won before.
I know. It's crazy. He'd been nominated plenty, but never won.
I know. I don't know. Because I wish Greta was nominated.
Yeah.
I don't know if she would have taken it against. Because also there's Yorgos. Like, I would have loved to see him win. I don't think he was, like, super in the running. I had never talked to anyone who thought. Mm-hmm. We were kind of thinking maybe Scorsese would take it.
Yeah. I kind of had that down. Just, like, you know, he's just such an iconic director. Yeah. Like, maybe they'll give him something. But I'm not surprised it went to Chris Nolan, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not that surprised. I would have, personally, out of all the nominees, I would have taken Justin Trier for Anatomy of a Fall.
Oh, yeah.
Or Yorgos, or even Jonathan Glazer. But all the nominees were really strong. And Scorsese's my number one director. Like, I'm a huge Scorsese fanboy. Like, I worship this man at the altar. And he probably would have been my fifth out of five.
Really?
Like, for who I wanted to
win. Yeah.
But because they were all fantastic. But, like, yeah, Greta, like you said, or Celine Song for Past Lives, or Alexander Payne for The Holdover. Like, there's just so many good
directors.
We need
to make this a 10-nominee category.
I know. Maybe.
Please.
Well, the last time that the Best Picture was just five films was when The Dark Knight got snubbed, and there was such a big outrage that the next year they bumped it up to 10. So maybe the outrage for Greta not being nominated will convince them to bump
it. I'm glad they acknowledged it. I mean, no one was super impressed. I don't think anyone was hoping to be impressed by Jimmy Kimmel's performance as host, but he did acknowledge that everyone is a bit surprised about Greta not being nominated.
And that was one of my favorite jokes of his of the night. He's like, well, don't act surprised. You guys were the ones that didn't vote for her.
Yeah, because everyone's like,
solidarity
with Greta. And he's like, this is of your doing.
One last thing about the Best Director nomination, or category, I guess. I really liked that they brought out Steven Spielberg to present it. This might sound a little bit corny, a little bit romantic, but I almost, and I've heard a few other people say this, but I almost saw this as like a passing the torch moment, because we all knew Christopher Nolan was going to win, and it's almost like he's been crowned by a lot of people as like the next big early 21st century Hollywood director, and the one from the late 20th century was Steven Spielberg. So it almost feels like it's like a passing of the torch from Spielberg
I like that.
To Christopher Nolan. So I don't know if that was in their intention, but I really do like that he came out to present.
I really see that. I didn't think of it like that. That's a cool take. I was mostly just like, I don't know what to do with myself. There's too many big directors in one room and now they're interacting with each other. It felt like wrong. It's like,
I know, right?
I can't believe we're seeing them all in one spot. Like, that one auditorium had so much power at
that's
that
what
moment.
The Oscars is for.
Yeah, I guess it is. But yeah, and then we also have part of the big four section that we're doing right now. We've got actor and actress, and this controversial topic, because actor went to Cillian Murphy. Oppenheimer.
Yeah, Oppenheimer. Three in a row.
That was pretty expected. It was nice to see him up there, though.
Oh, yeah. I love Cillian Murphy.
He's so cute.
What a dreamy, dreamy Irish man.
He acknowledged his roots. Yeah. I'm just an Irish. I don't know what he said.
I'm a proud Irish man. Yes. There's something like that.
And we're proud of you. Yeah. But actress went to Emma Stone.
Yeah.
And let's talk about that, because I think it was favored for Lily Gladstone to win. And that would have made sense completely. Yeah. But how do you guys feel about Emma Stone taking it? And also her reaction.
Oh, it was awesome.
I got to have, Emma solidarity. So,
exactly. Yeah. I know. Awesome. I just realized we were up against each other.
Yeah.
Lily and Emma.
Oh, my God. Oh,
and you took it.
What can I say?
Emma wins. Just not an Oscar prediction.
I was just realizing that recently. Like, please, where was a Wes nomination?
Wes Anderson won an Oscar.
Okay,
today,
oh, my God.
So there we go. We all got our...
Big year for us here on The Real World.
Big year for the Film Society.
But yeah, Emma solidarity. I get that. I'm feeling the Lily solidarity, though.
Yeah.
I did want Lily to win. Like, she was kind of who I was rooting for, but I'm not mad about the Emma Stone.
I'm not mad about it either. I can see why Lily Gladstone should have taken it. It would have made complete sense. Mm-hmm. I really don't think that it was undeserved.
Not at all.
From Emma Stone, because I've never seen her in a role like this. Like,
it was so bold.
So bold. Yeah. And just really, if any performance was going to take it, obviously she took La La Land like way back when.
Yeah.
But if any of her performances were to be lead actress level, it was like this showcasing of how diverse she is as an actress.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, you honestly, you can't really get two like opposite acting styles out of these two performances. You have Lily with a very subtle, very reserved, yet very powerful performance, and powerful in her presence. Like, she steals the room in almost every scene. But then you have Emma Stone, who's just completely over the top with laughing and crying and screaming all throughout. So it's like, it's just two opposite performances. So like, I would have been happy with either one. I know a lot of people probably thought Lily was going to take it because the Oscars the last couple of years have been trying to celebrate diversity more, with like Michelle Yeoh winning last year. But I think the big difference is that Michelle Yeoh was in the Best Picture winner that also won six other Oscar nominations. So I think it, as good as that performance was, and a big of a moment it was for an Asian actress to win Best Actress for the first time, I feel like it was almost riding that wave that Everything Everywhere had going for it. Whereas Killers of the Flower Moon, it didn't win a single Oscar. So, you know, that's why...
I can't believe they didn't take one.
I know. It's insane. Out of the last four movies that Martin Scorsese's made, it's gotten 26 Oscar nominations and zero wins.
Zero.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, that's poor nuts. Guy. Well, let's play a little clip of Wazazie's song for my people. This was from Scott George. We'll just listen to a little bit to have a moment to think about Lily Gladstone, I guess. It's from her movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to another set of big categories still. You thought we were winding now, but we're not. We're on to screenplays. We're doing adapted and original screenplay. Were these expected? Were they not? Adapted screenplay went to American Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Cord Jefferson.
Yep.
And original screenplay went to Anatomy of a Fall.
Yeah. I'd say these were pretty predictable.
You guessed both of them correctly. So not all of us can say that.
Yeah.
Actually, none of us can say that except for you.
I was the only one that got it?
Yeah.
You got both them.
Oh, nice.
I got neither.
I guessed Anatomy of a Fall for original, but I haven't seen it. It was just a guess.
Yeah. Good guess.
It was a good one, apparently. But are we happy with those?
Yeah.
I think so.
I would say so. I mean, starting off with original screenplay, because I know you guys have both seen that. I was rooting for Past Lives because I really liked the structure of that screenplay, mm-hmm. how it's structured in like the 12-year sections, almost structured like a stage play a little bit. Because I believe Celine Song is a stage play writer as well.
Okay, cool.
And, you know, it just felt like a very authentic, like semi-autobiographical screenplay. But, you know, for Anatomy of a Fall, you can't really be mad. This was the one part of the ceremony that I actually missed out on because I had to step out and grab our pizza. And I was really disappointed because I was really hoping.
I saw you rushing out of the theater.
Yeah, I was really hoping they were going to play the PIMP 50 Cent music, which I heard they did. I'm very upset that I didn't actually get to watch that. But, you know, happy for the win. I like how the screenplay works with, you know, perspective and ambiguity and bias and really makes the audience decide for themselves. It doesn't just spell everything out. I'm really happy for Justine Triet.
No, she killed it. Like, that was, such an insane, like, well thought out movie. And, like, just how everything kind of tied together and intertwined and, like, oh my God, so well done. You know, I knew nothing about like the French legal system going in, but I was like, okay, I think I can get behind this. Like, I think I understand what's happening.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, I liked it.
But we were also, all of us were kind of looking towards, I guess by now we know all three of us are huge Past Lives, The Holdover. So anything that they're in are in our top running for those ones.
Oh, yeah.
So I would have loved to see either of those, but also I'm yet to see Anatomy of a Fall. So maybe that would just completely push those out of mind. Who knows? Adapted went to American Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
You said you watched it really recently.
Yeah,
right,
I watched it like 1 or 2 days after the ceremony. Have either of you seen it?
I have not.
No. Okay, well, it's on Amazon Prime, luckily. So
shout out Amazon Prime.
Now's your chance. But I really, really liked it. It was super duper funny. I don't know if you guys knew it was a comedy, but it's like a very, very good satire on modern times. and some really great dialogue throughout the whole thing. So I love the win. I love the speech. Cord Jefferson saying that studios need to put less into big bloated movies with big bloated budgets and instead focus on, you know, he said, instead of making $200 million movie, why can't we make 20, $10 million movies? And really calling that out. I really like that.
Yeah.
I'm really happy for the win.
Narrowing it on just like closer to home story, I guess, instead of these huge budget ones. But we also have to acknowledge because we were kind of hoping for a bit of a scandal.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't really that big of a scandal, but there is the Holdovers screenplay.
Yeah.
Scandal.
Going from original to adapted, because apparently it was plagiarized.
we were thinking it's going to be the big one of his jokes or something.
Yeah.
Big surprise of the night. We have to move something to another category. a bit awkward because both Emma and I wanted it to win original screenplay.
Oh, yeah.
And then the day we found out, it was a devastating day to be us.
Just kind of to double down and be like, you know, Holdovers will win. Forget about the scandal.
So apparently that was a bit of an adapted screenplay. I don't really know what progress they've made on that case, though.
I'm not too sure. It almost makes me want to read the Frisco screenplay, which is what it's accused of being stolen from. The guy that wrote it said there's line by line plagiarism, lines of dialogue, but who knows? We'll see where it goes. But
And then we also had supporting actress, supporting actor.
Yeah,
I think Davine Joy Randolph was a bit of a shoo-in.
Oh yeah, I think that was the biggest lock of the night, maybe aside from Best Picture.
Yeah,
but she's just been winning at all these award shows,
and she took it right at the beginning. Emotional speech, first
amazing
award of the night, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. and seeing Paul Giamatti's reaction to her crying, it was so good.
No, yeah, she so good. She killed it. Like, her role, she such an amazing actress. Like, it was insane, the holdover. She gives just such, like, a nuanced performance. It's, yeah, she's insane.
Yeah, I want to see her in something else.
I know.
Because this is all I've got of her. Yeah. I want to see more. And then Robert Downey Jr., I'm not familiar with that guy either. Yeah, I really wanted Mark Ruffalo. I really wanted Mark Ruffalo to take it. I thought he was so funny. And I was thinking a bit about how there's kind of like the talk of his character, Duncan, being like the Ken to the Barbie of just like Barbie's on her own path, Bella's on her own path. And then these men become kind of desperate and in the shadow and whatever. Obviously, huge difference between these two. But there's have been comparisons drawn to that kind of douchey, masculine, fragile guy.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I think that Ken being so out there and so ridiculous is intentional and so fun for what Barbie was. But I thought personally Mark Ruffalo in Duncan's role did it just to the point of being laughable, but he wasn't overdoing it. I thought his comedy was so spot on. It hit everything so perfectly, and it wasn't exhausting to watch. It wasn't oh my God, we get it. We know what it is to, like, we've heard all those things about fragile masculinity. You don't have to overdo it. I don't think he did. I thought it was just so funny.
Well done. Yeah, no, he killed it in that. But yeah, Robert Downey Jr.
He took it.
He took it. Yeah. I haven't seen Oppenheimer since it came out. I don't really remember his performance that much. I'm sure it was good.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I think it almost like came in at the most boring part of the movie, in my opinion, in the last hour. But that's okay. He was really good. I was Team Ken, personally. I loved Ryan Gosling.
You wanted Ryan Gosling to take it?
I did want a Ryan Gosling win as well.
Mark Ruffalo would have been cool because it's just so against type. Like, I don't think anyone knew that he really had that performance in him.
And that's what Poor Things really felt like for me, to see actors and actresses that I've seen in so many different roles take on these crazy different things from whatever else I've seen them in.
For sure.
I loved it. Let's play a little bit of I'm Just Ken, just because in honor of Wes wanting Ryan to take it.
Doesn't seem to matter what I do. I'm always number two. No one knows how hard I tried. I have feelings that I can't explain, driving me insane. All my life been so polite, but I'll sleep alone tonight. 'Cause I'm just kidding, anywhere else I'd be a 10. Is it my destiny to live and die a life of blonde fragility? Where I see love, she sees a friend. What will it take for her to see the man behind the tan and fight for me?
I almost just don't want to turn it off.
I know, right? Can we just finish the show with that?
Can we leave him just kind of quiet in the background? I just want to hear him. Because let's move on. Let's just go straight to highlights right off the bat.
Yeah.
Does anyone have anything to say about Ryan's performance? Because come on.
Beautiful.
Was it not everyone's incredible highlight of the night?
Masterpiece.
Ryan.
It was the highlight of the night, easily.
The
it
highlight?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
He had all the Kens up there. Yeah.
Simu Liu made an appearance. Yes. Slash, who's still alive, made an appearance.
Alive and well.
Yay, Slash.
Oh, my God. And then he had like his Greta and his co-stars singing with him. And then, come on, when he had Emma Stone singing with him.
Honestly made me tear up.
Yeah. Actually made me
for us La La Land fans out there. Oh my goodness.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was a complete highlight. It was so funny. Yeah. I loved when he grabbed the cameraman's hand, kissed him on the hand.
Yeah.
Oh, so
good. I love those POV, you're the cameraman and Ryan Gosling holds your hand.
Oh, yeah.
That was so real. Yeah, complete highlight. Anyone else have any other highlights of the Oscars?
absolute highlight for me was Al Pacino. My eyes see Oppenheimer. My eyes see Oppenheimer. That was, oh my God. That was beautiful.
My eyes see Oppenheimer.
Yes. What's happening afterwards? I love it when they get these like old ass white guys up there and it's like they don't know what's
going
on.
Don't call him old, because I was reading up. Did you hear his statement? He made a statement, guys. What? And it's serious. He said, it was not my intention to omit the nominees, basically, because he didn't read out the ten nominees of the biggest category of the entire night, but he said it wasn't his intention. They made the decision. Yeah.
Well, they were half an hour over on runtime.
Oh, yes.
Already, so it makes sense. Like, that's we're about to be.
But then, the article I was reading, then the next sentence right after he said it wasn't his intention, he didn't forget that they were, and then they introduce him as saying, the 83-year-old said, we just went over it. He didn't forget. He didn't, lose his spot. Why are we highlighting his age? Like,
that's crazy. Yeah.
The 83-year-old said, anyway, he said that it was the producer's choice and that everyone had already been highlighted plenty throughout the night. Okay. Anyway.
Yes. Whatever you say, 83-year-old.
Yeah, that's what basically the internet's treating him as. Shady, yeah. That was so funny. Imagine. Oh, I would not even be mad if I was like, just because of how funny it was when he goes, yes. And then everyone's like, okay.
And there's a second where no one's clapping because it's like, oh, is that it?
Do your eyes see Oppenheimer?
And the quick pan to Christopher Nolan, like cameras running after him. Yeah. Just beautiful.
Dude, no clue. That's so funny.
Amazing. Going back to Ryan Gosling, I loved him and Emily Blunt's like Barbenheimer rivalry.
I loved it. It was so funny. There's too many things that people are like, oh, like that joke took it a bit too far. Like, people are getting so offended. And like, some things, obviously, like Oscar hosts or announcers have like said things that are a bit taking it too far. I think they had such a good balance. They were poking fun. It wasn't like super like cheap, easy shots. Like, they were kind of, she was laughing at him. She was saying, we did incredibly, like, we're killing it. And it was perfect. Like, they didn't take it too far. It wasn't too little, though.
Yeah.
I would 100%. Say, with their jabs at each other.
It was awesome.
And it was also promoting for the fall guy, because they were highlighting stuntmen in their little speech.
I didn't even put that together.
And they have a movie coming out called The Fall Guy. I don't know why I'm promoting it so much, because I think that it looks horrible.
It's getting good reviews at the trailer South by Southwest.
You're kidding.
So, from what I've heard.
Pretty good reviews.
Yeah.
Scratch that. I'm just kidding. I'm not hopping on the bandwagon. I'm standing with what I said. The trailer does not look good. How is it killing
you're
it?
You're a Fall Guy hater until the day you die.
Yeah, but basically Ryan Gosling's going to be the Fall Guy, and she's going to be the director.
The Fall Girl. Oh.
No, she's the director of the film. So I guess that's what they were shouting out. But any other closing remarks on the Oscars? What went down?
Oh my God. Honestly, I'm so happy the Boy in the Heron won. For best animated. I am so happy.
Wow.
I loved The Boy and the Heron. Spider-Verse was also insane, but The Boy and the Heron was just like beyond, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I love anything Studio Ghibli. So seeing, Miyazaki win.
I agree.
Like, I don't think he's won since like Spirited Away. Yeah.
So this wasn't there to accept either of them.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Well, that was Oscars for you.
Yeah.
We just tried to break it down for you. But thanks
for
listening.
If you haven't seen the movies yet, go watch the movie.
Go watch them. And thank you to our special guest, Wes, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. That was a lot of fun.
All right. See you guys in two weeks.
See ya.